This is Intersection. I'm Matthew Petty. School's out for summer, but already teachers and parents are planning for fall. For more on navigating the new normal as the pandemic recedes, I'm joined by Dr. Candace Jones and Seth Daub. Well, I'm joined by Dr. Candace Jones. She's a paediatrician in the Orlando area. Candace, thank you so much for coming back to Intersection. Appreciate it.
Always great to be here. Thank you.
And we're also joined by Seth Daub. He is the principal of Catalina Elementary School in Orlando. Seth, welcome back as well.
Thank you. Appreciate you asking me back.
So I want to start with you, Candace, Dr. Jones, and I want to ask, there's been a little bit of confusion, I guess, in the general public about the new guidance from the CDC around masks and what that means. Is this something you're fielding questions from your patients and their families as well?
Yes. You know, every time there's a change or adjustment in recommendations, it seems it just creates a storm. And I just remind everyone that this is still very new to all of us, and that as we learn more and as time goes on, we will have to make adjustments. And that's in every sector in life. And so the CDC, all the health experts, myself as a pediatrician, we try to keep abreast of everything so that we can re-inform my families, my patients, about what's the latest recommendations. And so the relaxation of the mask for vaccinated individuals is something that, you know, I had a little trepidation with, because I started thinking about, okay, families, parents, adults can be vaccinated, some older kids, but then there's, you know, children like my four-year-old. Large parts of families are not vaccinated. So what is this going to do? This is going to be a little confusing, maybe. Mm-hmm. And so I've been fielding the question in that way. Now, what do we do? And so for me, I've decided to continue to wear my mask so that I can model those safety measures still for my four-year-old, who still needs to be safe, still needs to wear a mask. If I all of a sudden stop, she looks at mommy and follows everything I do, then she's going to not see the seriousness of mask. And so I do it for her, and we continue to wear them.
Yeah, that's one thing I've noticed too. Like kids at that age, they seem to have adopted these new regulations, which have, you know, let's face it, the notion, you know, 18 months ago that this time we would all be sort of wearing masks in public and in those sort of settings. I mean, that would have been unheard of to most Americans, right? But, and yet here we are, and it seems like the younger kids particularly have been okay with following along with those guidelines. I know there have been some situations where, you know, kids may not be able to for one reason or another, but by and large, it seems that they've kind of adopted that message and taken it to heart.
Absolutely. I know my daughter has. She's a mask warrior. She's the mask police. And I have seen that with my patients. The younger children definitely follow what we do. If we teach them, we model them, we tell them why, explain it to them, they will do whatever. So we're the leaders in that regard.
Seth, what's your experience been? Was that this topic of some consternation, or at least conversation at the school when those new guidelines came out? And I wonder, you know, how you approach trying to walk through that message with your staff and parents and the students at Catalina Elementary as well.
Sure. As we know, we do follow all OCPS and CDC guidelines. And last year, when the conversation started in regards to masks, I was a little nervous at first, but let me tell you, our students and our teachers, they did a great job. I think as a society, we were so worried about students and us being the mask police, but we're really not, because the students are wearing masks. They, especially our kindergartners, we were worried about that, but they don't know any different. They don't know that there's school without masks, because this is their first year in school. So they think it's a normality. So we really haven't had any issues. For some reason, if a student forgets their mask at home, we provide them one here on campus. But from what we thought might have been an obstacle has honestly really not. Even our teachers, they do a great job as well in regards to masks. So it's been a great, it's been part of our culture for the past 179 days, because tomorrow is the last day of school. And our students have done such a great job at having their masks on all throughout the day, whenever, you know, they're in the building or they're, you know, outside and they're not able to social distance for whatever reason.
Okay, so what about what may happen come fall when you return to campus? How are you going to approach that? I know that we're still waiting on some guidelines from OCPS, but a lot of school districts have said masks will be optional, right? So what's your thinking as you think about the post-summer period and getting back to school again?
Sure. So I do know that for summer school, masks are still required. I do know that Orange County Public Schools, they're having work sessions over the next couple of weeks, and then they'll vote as a school board to decide what the plan is for the fall. And whatever they do plan and they do decide is what we will follow here at Catalina. We want to make sure that everyone remains safe, and we also follow all policies and procedures through Orange County Public Schools and the CDC.
When I spoke to you last, Seth, a couple of months ago, you sort of talked about the importance of communicating things, and you know that's pretty important in any kind of crisis, right? Do you think that's the way forward too? You know, no matter what happens around masks or even bigger picture, thinking about vaccinations, if and when those become available for younger children.
Yeah, we do a weekly call out to our families, and we always update them on anything that comes through Orange County Public Schools or even through our school. You know, and we always say, I end my message with, you know, stay well, make sure you have your masks every day. We are always following CDC guidelines and procedures on campus, and our main goal is to keep all of our students and staff safe here on campus. So we will continue to, you know, clean our campus appropriately. I call it fun with Lysol wipes or Clorox wipes. We tend to have fun with it. And in all seriousness, we started doing this the February before the pandemic hit because it was flu season. So I gave every teacher and every grade level a canister of Lysol wipes. And I said, okay, clean your doors and your desks and your whatever, because I'm a germaphobe. So I wanted to make sure that we were ready for flu season, and who would have known a few weeks later that we would have been shut down for the pandemic. So we do keep a very safe building in regards to that, and I'm very proud of our teachers and our students for taking this very seriously.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Candace Jones, I want to come back to you for a moment. Talk to me a little bit about what you know, what we know at this point about children under the age of 12. So obviously the vaccinations will become available to children, you know, 12 and up, but younger than that, like, what do we know about, you know, how susceptible children are under the age of 12 to COVID and sort of how that all plays out?
Right. So as we know right now, as you said, 12 and up, Pfizer vaccine is what's approved. And I really want to stress that, as a pediatrician, I'm aware, we're all aware of the power and importance of vaccines. They're the thing, including everything else, that has the power to stop this pandemic. And children make up a significant part of our population. So vaccinating them must be and is a strategy to control this virus so it cannot continue to spread. So that's number one. So 12 and up with the Pfizer vaccine, and we want to encourage all families to make sure that children 12 and up are getting their vaccine. It's so easy. As soon as we got the green light, my son went that Saturday to Walgreens and got his vaccine. And he is not a fan of shots, but he was ready. He has been home this entire pandemic. He's ready to get back to school. He's ready to play his sports. He's ready to just do everything. And so he's looking forward to seventh grade in a school building in all of his activities, and he will be fully vaccinated. So that's the most important thing I want to stress for families. Now, as far as the de-escalation of those age groups, those trials are ongoing with Pfizer, with Moderna, I think as well with the J&J vaccine. And so they are doing the same due process of robust studies and finding out if the vaccine is safe and effective in those age groups. And from what health experts are saying, we could have younger ages available more mid-fall, sometime in September. But that's just a guess. We just all are waiting and seeing. But whatever that recommendation is, I hope that as kids 12 and up are getting it and we're seeing that it's safe, we're seeing that it's effective, it's making a difference with making school safe, for instance, that parents will be at that time ready for their younger children to be vaccinated as well. My 4-year-old is certainly ready. She was upset that her brother got it and she couldn't get it.
If you're just joining us, my guests are Dr. Candace Jones. She's a pediatrician in the Orlando area, also joined by Seth Daub. He's the principal of Catalina Elementary School. We're talking about schools reopening in fall and the possibility of vaccines for younger children and also the mask ordinance. Dr. Jones, too, I wanted to ask about, I guess, the notion of children as vectors of the virus, too, because it seems like the data so far has suggested that they may not be as vulnerable to some of the more severe symptoms of COVID, but there has been this idea that, you know, maybe children, that part of the risk is children, even if they're not getting particularly sick themselves, they can be spreading it and passing it on. So how do you see that picture changing as more vaccinations become available and we sort of move into the next stage, you know, towards the end of this pandemic?
So we know that children have fared better than those at-risk adults with the pandemic. But as you said, children have gotten this virus. Children have died from this virus. Children have been hospitalized with this infection. Children have also, they have long COVID. New clinics are opening up at academic centers all over this nation with children suffering from long COVID.
And you're referring to like the long haulers, I think I've heard them
absolutely,
called.
Absolutely, absolutely. Mm. With symptoms of fatigue, all sorts of symptoms, and are not getting back to normal just as adults are suffering from long haul COVID. And so, as you also said, children can spread this virus to others. And so they are an important part of getting the vaccine and helping to end the pandemic, especially since we have a significant portion of adults who are hesitant still and who don't want the vaccine. So children can also make up in those areas as well.
Last time I spoke to you on this program, Seth, I mean, you talked about reteaching some standards from past grade level because of, you know, kids being online and struggling with that. And you sort of said that this is something you might kind of bake into your, you know, the way you go about things from here on out. Is that still your thinking? You're still thinking it's good to do a sort of refresher on the basics, pandemic or not?
Absolutely. I've already met with my leadership team for next year. We've already met this year to start planning for next year. And we are starting a week number 2 in regards to reteaching standards from the previous school year. So we're already starting to plan so we can get that started so we can really focus on the needs and the foundational skills that our students are still lacking.
Dr. Jones, one of the other aspects of the pandemic and thinking about some of those health implications, it's not just the physical challenges and risks of COVID, right? It's also sort of the you know, social isolation and people being cooped up at home and some of the other stresses around the pandemic. You know, if, you know, parents are out of work and that sort of adds a layer of stress as well. Do you see some of those things kind of alleviating a bit as we look to a resumption of in-person learning for everyone in the fall?
I think so. The long-term effects of this pandemic on our children particularly remain to be seen. And you mentioned some of those, just their whole school year being disrupted, social isolation, mental health crises, the financial strain in their families, the fear of getting the infection and having lost loved ones from the infection. And so there's so much that our children have been dealing with. And so I think as we see you know, get better in the pandemic, as we get back to school, as we get back to our activities, especially as our children get vaccinated and we relax and say, oh, you don't have to wear your mask. Oh, you can go back to swimming. Oh, you can go back to your group sports, or you can get back to school. I've personally seen that happen. I've had patients suffering with depression. I've had patients with suicidal ideations, stuck at home, doing virtual learning, not being able to play football or basketball. And this was their family decision. And I don't judge anyone's decision, because I don't know their particular health risk. But I have had this discussion with families to say it might be worth it. The benefit of his or her mental health might be worth it to just go back to school, to just go back to football and be safe, versus what's going on now. So absolutely, as we all work together to end this pandemic and things get better, I think it's going to make it better for all of us mentally, physically, in every aspect of our lives.
Mm-hmm. Seth, just thinking about some of the things that you've adopted, you know, and you'll kind of keep going from the pandemic, like lessons learned, so to speak, and you talked about the basic sort of 101 training that you'll be doing just to make sure people don't sort of experience that summer slide. But are there some other things you think you might keep going? I know that obviously Orange County Public Schools isn't offering the launch yet at home come the fall, but do you think there are some things that you've sort of learned and could adapt to future classes from online learning, for example, some things that actually worked from the last year?
Absolutely. One thing that I'm thinking of that comes to my mind is our communication with our parents. A lot of our parents work, some work overnight, some work, you know, sometimes three, four jobs. And the power that we have now not to have a parent-teacher conference on a campus is so powerful. We have this online tool that we can use to have these, which we've always had, but now we really know how to use it. And we're going to do that from now on. A parent could do a student conference on the way to work if need be. So we're really meeting the needs of our parents a lot more in regards to having them involved in the students' learning. So we're kind of shifting from having, you know, those required, quote unquote, conferences, traditional conferences, what they looked like in the years ago on the school campus, to now be possibly virtual in the future. So our parent communication over this past year has been wonderful, and it's really helped, build relationships with our community and our teachers to do so with our families. So we're definitely going to keep that at the forefront as we move forward, 100%.
Dr. Jones, I imagine there might be something similar happening in the world of medicine, right? I mean, the kind of virtual doctor consultation, is that something you think you'll be doing more of, whether or not we are sort of faced with a health crisis like the one we saw in 2020?
Right. I certainly hope so. You know, we, even before the pandemic, the healthcare industry was looking at medicine visits, the ability to talk to families in that way for certain type of visits. And I know our practice, we were working on that, but the pandemic came full force and it made it happen. It cut all of that red tape out that was, you know, posing a challenge before, and it made it possible. Now, our families in our practice haven't totally jumped on board. They were a little skeptical of the televisit, but it certainly has helped in certain situations, and it certainly is a wonderful tool for certain types of visits. You know, as doctors, we like to see and touch, you know, to make a full diagnosis. But in certain type of visits, it's absolutely wonderful. And I hope and I really think that's going to continue.
Mm-hmm. Just finally, I wanted to ask you both, what are you looking forward to over the summer? Maybe a bit of a break from the craziness of 2020. Dr. Jones, what are you kind of anticipating? What does the summer look like for you?
Well, we have two vacations that we're planning coming up soon. In June, early part of June, we're going to do a Pacific Coast Highway drive. Last year in the summer, we did out west. We drove out and, you know, did like Mount Rushmore and Grand Canyon and stuff like that. And for us, that was a safe way to just stay with our core family and be in outdoor space. So we're going to do that again. And looking forward to, we really had a fun trip and did not come back with COVID. So you can do it totally safely. And then later in the summer, before school starts back, we're gonna take a flight, quick flight to Puerto Rico. So that's gonna be something that I'm gonna navigate because of my daughter. That's the first time we've flown since the pandemic. And so there'll be some special things that I try to make sure she's safe.
Seth, what does the summer look like for you?
In all honesty, professional, getting ready for the fall. But I'm going to two conferences this summer that aren't going to be face to face. One is our state conference for the Florida Association of School Administrators, where I'm currently president, and that'll be in June. However, we are following all CDC guidelines in regards to the conference. And then I'll be going to Chicago for our national conference, National Association of Elementary School Principals. And yeah, just trying to in between that rest a little bit, and get my my mind ready for the fall as I would do every summer. But I'm really looking forward to next year. I really am. I'm looking forward to bringing even more students back on campus. I'm looking forward to hopefully, if we're allowed to have more events with families back on campus, which I think possibly will happen. I'm looking forward to seeing our community kind of come back together and continue to do what's best for kids.
Well, Seth Daub is the principal of Catalina Elementary School. Seth, thanks again for joining us. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
And Dr. Candace Jones, pediatrician, always great to talk to you, Dr. Jones. Thank you so much as well.
Thank you.